Would you like me to start?
Yes, I'd love to let us go ahead and get a little situated here. I have been living here pretty much all morning, so you understand how the process works. You say you don't need any time for rebuttal, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and you have up to 15 minutes. You can feel free to use any portion of that time you need to make your argument. So you may begin with Ray.
Okay. The lower court in Fairfax did not give an opinion with respect to my legal challenges. So, basically, I need to bring these assignments of error, assuming that he ruled against me in all those matters. The first of which is the gate to the facts of the case, which is the standard of review. The VEC claims that I have to show fraud. Okay? My argument is that's overbroad. Now, typically, overbreadth doctrine means that a statute extends into the protective behaviors of citizens or denies them rights. My argument against the case law that the VEC brings is that for a claimant to prove fraud, that's essentially a crime. And that essentially would bar most citizens from even getting a review in the first place. So, what I'm saying is that in April 2015, BASF Corporation, via the State Corporation Commission, the Supreme Court of Virginia ruled that that while giving deference that the legislature wants the commission to have, whether as a matter of comity or, you know, disposing of cases or whatever their reasoning or the historical precedents were on that matter, the court did not say that fraud was needed. It said that they will step in if the facts of the case do not apply to the evidences. Now, before I can get to that, I have to win the standard of review. And the judge said in oral argument that he did not have to do a de novo review. Well, if you don't do a de novo review, how are you going to determine whether the facts were applied properly? How are you going to determine that something taken out of context in the transcript as an absolute answer that is associated with their decision? For example,
I think what Judge Tran was saying when he said that we did not need to do a de novo review was articulating the unusual circumstances that a circuit court has when it's hearing an appeal such as yours. A circuit court actually sits as an appellate court when a matter comes up from the Virginia Employment Commission. So the taking of evidence as in a traditional case would not occur before Judge Tran, and that's what I'm speculating or finding that's probably the case here, that he was not going to give you what might be considered a traditional full de novo or new trial. I think that's what he was trying to articulate.
Well, he didn't say specifically, and when at the end of the oral argument, the VEC representation, the Commonwealth, presented a prepared document that they already had even before I made my oral argument, which I thought was a little unusual. And all the facts in the case that were submitted.
Lawyers show up all the time with orders that they hope are going to be entered. That's just the way most lawyers operate. They come in hoping they're going to win. And both sides will usually have an order that they want me or the judge to enter. So that's not unusual. They come expecting to win.
I wasn't asking the judge to allow new evidence to come in. The record seems to be much larger than it is because there's duplicates. But in order to perpetuate my argument, I submitted my Chapter 17 complaint, okay, where it has evidences of material fact that can't be reached unless the court reviews them. That's in the case. I didn't go in there to try to present facts that weren't already in the case. I was asking the court to review those facts and apply it according to the BASF Corporation. And then I feel that my facts are so clear and my evidences are so good. I mean, they're good evidences, they're emails between my supervisor and other persons. That can't be disputed. I mean, the county didn't even dispute anything that I said. And in the first instance of this process, they said that I had to have all my documents by a certain point. And they admitted some documents. The county didn't even want to submit documents unless the VEC said they would.
So one of the big arguments that's been made by the commission here is that there is an insufficient record for us to make a determination. In other words, that the designation of errors in the appendix and the like is not present in this case. And so therefore, this court is not capable making a determination because your responsibilities as far as perfecting your appeal have not occurred. What would you say to that, sir?
Well, I disagree with that. I think that my argument with respect to the overbreadth of that case prevents me from getting judicial review. And so, to countermand that, BASF did not include fraud. And the record does show quite a bit. Now, due to the fact that the words were limited, I had to get into some of these other cases with respect to standard of review of the facts and what a hostile work environment is. Well, what happened here is the only way that you can reach those facts is to have a de novo review. Maybe not a complete de novo review, but if I wasn't spending so much time arguing case law, I would be able to lay out a chronology. But they weren't interested. He wasn't interested in any of those facts. So basically, in my case, I had to put certain facts in there to substantiate. But that's not all the facts. Throughout this whole process, it's kind of unusual because this wasn't just as the VEC would claim that I just had one day that I wanted to leave. This built up, which leads to my next argument with respect to a hostile work environment. Okay? Excuse me, Your Honor. Just extinguish that off. So, with respect to National Railroad Passenger Corporation v. Morgan, if I do get to the facts, in that case, it clearly states what a hostile work environment is. Even if some of those individual incidences were considered not dispositive of me or whatever the case may be, they have to be taken in total. And it even goes further into saying that they have to take into effect whether there was any physical violence or whether there was, and how it affected me, and also how it affected my job performance, and whether I was losing my ability to do my function. So, and that all comes down to the facts again. Now, that takes some time. I mean, you can't necessarily do that in an hour in a hearing process, but I think that I pretty much developed it over the course of this case. And that when you apply the hostile work environment, and I stated the claim in my Chapter 17 complaint, okay, I stated it early on that I was having problems with management because they were asking me to do things that I could not do legally. Because I have a legal responsibility in my position, it's very regulated. I can't just, if my supervisor tells me, oh, well, just use those bad standards, she can't do that. She can't. And I am not compelled to follow her order. Okay, so, and that's not just with the state regulations and DEQ, that's also the regulations of the accreditation agency. So then it comes out, then what is a reasonable response from the county? Do they just get to sit back and make ad hominem attacks? I understand the burden's on me. I made a prima facie case, as in plan bill. Okay? Their response was not to contest or say in any way that what they did was legitimate, which is fine, right? But that doesn't apply. But that's not following the shifting burden that's required in plan. Plan and then law. It's a bigger name. I was truncating it. Okay. Now, it doesn't really matter whether it is a because of case, or the dicta in the case doesn't actually apply to me. What's important here is in the precedents that I gave you and in the other cases, is that these are rulings based on the theory of how you look at cases. If I came into a court with a receipt from a package store, or, I mean, that's what we call them up in New England, you know, we buy beer.
I've heard of those.
If I walk out with that receipt and something happens by fortuitously or however, I can use that. That's considered a good evidence. Okay? It doesn't mean that I can only use that in one particular case. That doctrine is spread. It applies to the theory of review. So then, the opposition also continues to misinterpret the statutes with respect to the grievance process. They're saying that I didn't file a grievance on a reprimand. And the word grievance, they tried to change a little longer in the process because it clearly states, according to Title 15.2, Section 15.2, Section 1507 of the Chapter 17 process, you know, they incorporate that from the state legislature into the county. It clearly states in there, and I stated it in my Chapter 17 complaint, that I was not filing a challenge to the written reprimand. I was filing a hostile work environment because written reprimands and performance appraisals are not legal. There is a process, but these people that were creating this environment for me had the power. They were in the review process. I mean, so there were some serious nefarious things going on there, and if these are the facts and they're provable. And if I can't get to them, then how am I supposed to overturn the case? Then the VEC can continue to come into the court and say, hey, like they said with me, he had his due process, basically. You know, he had all these levels of review, believe what we have to say. So really what they're doing is they're discounting the state legislature's, you know, right to appeal. You know, so if the courts are always going to defer to the state, then citizens aren't going to get review. And it won't be an adequate review. And I think that is a flaw in that argument also. Okay, of course, that goes to their judgment, their ruling. Okay? That if I didn't file that grievance process, then I didn't get proper exhaustion. What I argued is look, back in 2013, I had emails from my boss telling me to do something I shouldn't be doing. Now, I put that aside. But then they wanted me to go into the laboratory, and I knew there was problems in there. Okay, so when I went in, so I told him, look, this is how this thing came out. I told him, look, I can't do what you're asking me to do. Okay? I says, I know what's going on. I was trying to avoid another conflict because of their poor decision-making. Okay? And so you can't get to that either. The state wants to give a cursory argument, hey, you know, we looked at it, these are our facts, and that's all that happened. When the record clearly reflects that there's a lot more information there. Okay? And if I had the opportunity to argue that information that is in the record, not new information, and have it applied against National Railroad Passenger, right, it would meet all of that criteria, especially the physical violence, okay, and how it made me feel, okay, and stuff like that. So they just don't give anybody any credit, you know, for the type of abuse that is. Now, there's some other errors there, too, which goes to this transcript, where him clearly said, as I said in my argument, that, I'm sorry. I just, it was just getting to me a little.
I understand, sir. Arguing passionately your position.
Yes, I am. And I really truly believe that this isn't about money anymore. This is about my reputation also and my ability to market my skills in the workplace. And if the courts are going to allow ad hominem attacks and generalizations to win the day, then I just don't see what the point is of having an appeal from the commission. They might as well just say, look, the commission's going to tell you what they're going to do, and that's the end of it. You're not entitled to a judicial rule, judgment.
Yes, sir. I think we understand your argument.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. May it please the court. Elizabeth P. here on behalf of the Virginia Plymouth Commission. Please excuse my voice. I'm getting over a little cold. I have a few points to make, but the commission stands on the record and the brief submitted and respectfully request that the court affirm Fairfax Circuit Court's order affirming the commission's decision that Mr. Borden voluntarily quit without good cause.
As I understand Mr. Borden's argument is that he feels that the trial court did not exercise its review appropriately because, in his view, there needed to be an assessment of the facts to determine whether or not the commission's determination was supported or not. What would be your response to that?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to point out that I was not at the circuit court hearing. My colleague was, who is no longer with the Attorney General's office. Further, there was no transcript because there was no court reporter at the hearing. And the statement of facts submitted by Mr. Borden was not entered by the court.
Setting aside the arguable procedural defects, what would be your response to the suggestion that the appropriate standard of review was not adhered to by the trial court?
Your Honor, I would like to state that the court did adhere to the standard of review. They properly reviewed the record of proceedings that was presented to them with the answer provided by the Attorney General's office on behalf of the commission and determined that in the absence of fraud, the commission's findings of fact were supported by the record, and the commission properly determined that Mr. Borden was disqualified from receiving unemployment benefits. The standard of review is set out in section 60.2-625 of the Code of Virginia, and there is plenty of case law coming out of this court regarding that standard of review. In this case, the case was fully briefed before the hearing. Both the petitioner, Mr. Borden at that time, and the commission briefed the matter and set forth pinpointing citations to the record showing where the findings of fact were indeed supported by the record. Therefore, upon the commission, the court's review of the record and the briefs and the arguments before the court, they properly reviewed the record, determined that the findings of fact supported the record, and concluded that the commission came to the right conclusion.
But your primary argument here is that we are not in a position to even get there to assess it because of what you allege are deficiencies in the presentation of the matter to this court.
That's correct, Your Honor. If you have any further questions for me, otherwise I rely on the brief.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Absolutely.